Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Ann P, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stickers, stories, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Quiet, Fluffy. I'm trying to listen to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a rat. My friend just tweeted that I was there.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people. This is That Story Show where we bring your real life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 397, brought to you the week of December 9th, 2021. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. My good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I got a cat in my pocket.
Oh, wow.
I just tried to think of something. I didn't write it down, and that's what came out. I'm sorry.
Got a cat.
Because I got performance anxiety. I was like, oh, I got to say something about animals because you did that great intro there. And
I got a kitty in my pocket, everybody.
That's terrible.
I don't think a cat would stand for such a thing.
Nope.
It's a little teacup kitten. It's a baby cat.
It's a baby.
That's right in my pocket.
Baby kitty. Well, I have a...
I'm wearing baggy clothes so he can fit my... Have you seen people that will take their hoodies and they'll put them on backwards and they'll stick the cat in the...
No.
In the hoodie part? No, you've never seen that? Okay.
No. Well, I don't
look
think,
it up.
I don't think I live up amongst enough white people. I think that's white people stuff right there. That's what that sounds like. That's just something a white person would do.
You're probably very correct on that.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's like the time my friend was at the airport, and she is very talkative. She likes to, you know, talk to people around her. And there was a dog in a, not a purse, but just being held in a container of some kind. And the dog had a tiny visor, had little sunglasses, had a little vest on. And so she said something to the dog, and the lady holding the dog jerks the dog back away and says, "Don't talk to her. She's working."
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's working.
It's working. I'm like, that's the easiest job a dog ever had. Looking like a human, you know.
Yeah.
That is just dumbest thing ever.
Wow.
I know.
Well, that's a great story opener for our
I know there's such a thing as an emotional support animal, but I also know this, that has been abused, you know,
oh, yeah,
big time. People just want their dogs or their cats to fly free. So they put a vest on them that they bought off Amazon and say, oh, they're working. But that dog had glasses on. Okay. You know,
yeah.
I don't understand.
Sunglasses,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dumb. Yeah.
It's fine if you want to do that.
Yeah. It's okay. By all means.
But that doesn't automatically mean it's working. You know? Anyway,
offense to anybody that puts glasses and hats on their animals.
Yeah.
We love you.
You're just weird. We are doing a theme show today. And
yes,
that is an amazing thing. We talked about it for the last couple of weeks, and people sent in their stories, and we're so excited. I have to say, though, that a lot of the stories are borderline horror stories.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I thought we would get these cute, funny, you know, my dog bopped his head on the door and he chewed up the mail and he grabbed the toilet paper and the birds do the things and all, but it's rough. Some of them are rough. No pun intended there.
Yeah, I get it. Rough. Good one.
But we're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be rather interesting. We always open with a story. This one's called The Wrath of Gypsy. All right. A few years ago, our daughter convinced us to get a rescue cat. And we named him Gypsy Gingersnap. So he gets a first and last name here.
Gypsy Gingersnap.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a name. It's a name. That's okay. I found out just the other day, my son is 13 now, but when we got our dog, he was like 5, and he wanted to name Moffitt Race Car, and I never knew that. So I'm glad.
Really?
I'm glad we didn't name him Race Car.
Race Car.
Because I always judge a name of a dog by having to shout it from the back door to get the dog to come in the house.
Yes.
And what do you want the neighbors to hear? And I don't want the neighbors to hear, you know, Ginger Snap or
Race Car.
Race Car. Yeah. So
Moffitt, Sugar Blossom.
Moffitt's bad enough because everybody thinks his name is Muppet. And I get offended. I'm like, no, it's Moffitt. It's a real name. It's a man's last name. I named it after Stephen Moffat, one of the best writers in Britain. So for Doctor Who. But anyway, he doesn't deserve the name. The dog is dumb. So anyway,
the dog doesn't deserve the name.
The dog is the dumbest dog ever, but he's well behaved. So he gets a pass. Anyway, Ginger Snap. So she was never really a social cat towards the family members except my daughter, and she mainly spent most of her life hiding in the daughter's bedroom. Mm-hmm. And we had all come to call her Gypsy. Wait a minute. Jipey. Jippy? Jippy. I'm going to say that Jippy. Says Jippy. So for short, it was Jippy. So it came time for us to move house. By the way, this is from the Ball family from Western Australia. So they don't move. They move house. So we had loaded the car up, and we put Jipey in the cat carry container in the back of the Subaru wagon. To put it mildly, she was reluctant and not happy about the container, just mm-hmm. like a kitten wouldn't be happy to be in your pocket. So
sure,
we were coming through the local town site where we live, and as we were traveling along, all of a sudden an evil, sinister, and nostril-breaking smell began to permeate through the vehicle. There was no doubt this smell had not come from a human's butt. It had been from a vengeful cat.
Oh, no.
Trying not to vomit whilst I desperately looked for a local toilet, the windows all down in the car for maximum airflow, we managed to pull into a local public toilet. That's what they call bathrooms over there. They don't call them bathrooms. They call them toilets. So,
toilets.
Yeah. For us, toilet's in the bathroom, but for them, the toilet is the bathroom. So I got out of the car and I retrieved the carry container from the back and headed to the toilet cubicle to deliver this menacing piece of crap from the container to the toilet. And no, he doesn't mean the cat. He means a menacing, literal piece of crap. So I reached the toilets and I was horrified to see a sign over the door saying out of order.
Oh, no.
Yeah, over there they say out of order. Over here, they just put like caution tape.
I don't know. Don't count on it.
Don't. There's, you can check in, but you can't check out. Panicking and looking around, I realized I had no choice but to take the cat container in and deposit the wrath of Jipey to the toilet. I'm saying it different every time because I don't know how to pronounce it. Once
you'll get one of them right.
Yeah, it's just random chance. You know, 1,000 monkeys type it for 1,000 years. Once in the toilet, I locked the door and started to unzip the cat carrier. The cat hissed and snarled at me, and I released her from the cage, and she scurried to the corner of the bathroom, angrily staring at me. And that's where I would leave her if it was me.
Let her go.
I don't like animals that hate me, you know, and cats are... That's why I'm not a cat person. I don't get it. I don't get why people love them. But anyway, holding back the vomit from my heaving stomach, I managed to retrieve the big nasty crap from the cage and put it in the toilet. Having no way to flush the toilet, though, because it was out of order, I dumped it in, and then I grasped hold of the cat, shoving her back into the container and zipping it back up. Wow. He must have been quick because, you know, angry cats like to, you know, scrape you. So I opened the door and headed back to the car. However, as I exited, I noticed an elderly couple who had also pulled over to use the toilets. I panicked and fled to the car when I heard my son yell out to the elderly couple, "Our cat did a poo."
Okay.
At least they'll have context for what they're about to find. I quickly put the cat carrier back into the rear of the car, then jumped in the car and told my wife to floor it.
So, floor it. Go.
We do say that in America.
You know, yeah.
Hit it. Floor it. Go. Looking back, I saw the couple go into the toilet block and then cover their noses in horror and retreat. Poor people. They probably fought in the war. And now you put them through that. The wrath of Jeepy had unleashed on them also. The cat is still with us. Her poo still smells horrible, but we love her anyway. We hope you enjoyed our story, and I hope it makes it on the show. The Ball family from Buyup Brook, Western Australia. So I think it's awesome that we have people that listen from all over the world.
I do too.
It's such an awesome thing.
That's rad.
It's time for us to rewind the week. Rewinding. All right. So my weekly update has nothing to do with the dog or a cat.
That's okay because, you know. Yeah.
Wow. Good.
Yeah, definitely. Mine doesn't either. Just so you know.
It's a simple thing, but it was so funny to us. My wife and I go on dates twice a week. We are very dateable. We date each other often. And Wednesday nights, we usually end up at a place called Cyberg's on Gravois. And it's a great place. If you're ever in town, go over there and get a Provel chicken sandwich and tell them James sent you, and they won't know who you're talking about.
But they'll say thanks. Is that the place that we went where they had the live music that was so loud?
No, that was Blue City Deli. That I take you to, but I'll take you out there when you come out in June.
Okay, so, all right, yeah.
But anyway, so we sit in the bar area because there's always tables available, and you don't have to wait like you do when you want to sit in the dining area. It's just awesome. So we sit there, and it's a little louder, and when there's sports on, people get rowdy, you know, and all that. But the service is great. You never run out of soda because they're just always there to help you out.
Yeah. Right at the bar. It's really short walk for them.
Yeah. So we don't have kids or anything. So it's just two old people just enjoying and there's tons of televisions with golf and football and crap I don't care about going on all over the place. So it's easy to focus on my wife. Sometimes I don't know about you, but when I go out to eat at one of these places that have TVs, sometimes I find myself, you know, like I can't concentrate on a conversation because there's some commercial. And
they steal your attention.
Yeah, I don't see commercials because I have, you know, Netflix and all this. So I don't know what's going on in the world. So anyway, long story short, it was time to pay the check. And my wife was there and they had brought a check and the pen, and she couldn't get the pen to work. And she's like, "Can you fix this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know I can fix this, baby. I'm a fixer. Yeah. I'm known around the house as a fixer. The kids used to call me Fixer. Matter of fact,
Mr. Fixer."
Yeah, and I was like, "I'll do this." And so I did this thing where I jerked the pen down by my side, you know, to kind of fling it like you would a dead rat to try to, you know, sling dead rat juice out. I don't know. And then I scrubbed it on the napkin and it didn't work. So I pounded the pen on the table, just trying to, like you would a ketchup bottle, you know, on a table, because that's not something most
you get all the ketchup to go to the bottom.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'll get the ink to come out. But right then, poof, the pen turns into 1,000 pieces in my hand, flies up like a fountain of particles, and falls in our plates. It hits the guy at the table next to us. It falls on the floor. It lands in my lap. There are tons of pen pieces suddenly everywhere. And my pride is crushed because my wife immediately starts laughing. Oh, I'll fix the pen, she says. I'll fix the pen. You're a pen fixer, all right. Good job. Well, I managed to scrape together enough of the pen to put it back together to make it look like it's okay. And the guy next to us, he's half drunk, but he's okay. I'm like, did you get hit? He's like, it's all good. And I'm like, good, because I wore a Buzz Lightyear t-shirt. And when you wear a Buzz Lightyear t-shirt, it means I'm not planning on getting into a serious argument today. Because if I do, all they have to do is point out that I'm wearing a Buzz Lightyear t-shirt and I have lost the man argument. You know, my manliness is just in question, called into question big time. So anyway, he was cool. But my wife was laughing at me, and the lady come up and she's like, the waitress or the bartender or whatever it was. And she says, is everything good? And I'm like, I got bad news about your pen. And my wife stops me. She goes, that was my pen. I'm like, whoops. Here I was, ma'am, thinking I owed you an apology. And I was going to call for the manager to complain about the pen. But it's my wife's pen. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't know. And so I did two stupid things. I apologized to the wrong person. And I broke the pen. So anyway, it fantastically exploded, though. I don't know how ink didn't get everywhere, but the moral of the story is, or the end of the story is, I had the ink well, you know, the center part in my hand, and there was a pinch in it. And so even though it was full of ink, there was a pinch now down near the nib. And I realized somehow or another, it had used up all the ink in the pen that it was capable of getting to. So it was a faulty pen.
That's crazy. So you couldn't have fixed that without massive surgery anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and who would do that? Because it's a disposable pen.
It's kind of like the story. This lady at my church, she had a son that fell down the stairs and he had a massive head injury. And they took him to the hospital and they found out he had a tumor in his head and they pulled it out and saved his life. And it never would. They never would have found it in time
if he hadn't fallen down the stairs
like an idiot. So, I blew up the pen, but it was really on purpose, is what it was.
It's so that your wife would know for sure that pen wasn't going to work ever again, anyways.
Exactly.
There you go. I hope
it wasn't just the act of a stupid over macho guy. It was for a reason. So
yeah, anyway, there we go.
So we got a pin from the lady and we did eventually pay and got out of there and we had a good night, but
and all was well.
My wife says, you got your weekly update. And I'm like, yeah, let me pull out Google Keep. And I typed it up. So
just in case.
Yep. So there we go.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Congrats.
Hopefully your life is funnier than mine is. Mine just an explosion.
I can't
reiterate though how explosive it blew up. I mean, it landed.
I know how those pins go.
5 foot away and hit a dude, you know, like a very macho looking guy. I was so glad he was cool with it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it was probably one of those Pilot G2 gel pens with the extra springs. Yeah, those are the ones, man. Those blow up on me all the time.
Really?
No. But they have in the past before.
So what's going on in your world there?
Let me tell you what's going on in my world. I had the privilege and just the happy joy of cleaning some stuff out around my barn the other day.
Okay.
And there was poison ivy in there.
John.
Yeah. So as I may have said before, I can look at poison ivy and it gets me somehow. So fortunately I was mostly covered up in just my forearms, of all places, my forearms. I had gloves on, I had a flannel shirt on, I had my sleeves rolled up a little bit because, you know, I was doing man work.
Right.
And I got poison ivy all over my forearms and it's disgusting and it itches and I was frustrated and I went to the school nurse and I said, can you help me? And she said, well, I can put some stuff on it and you can do this and here's some Benadryl. But she said, if you really want to get rid of it quick, go to the urgent care and get a steroid shot.
Oh.
And I'm like, what's this steroid shot? Because I know that bodybuilders and people used to take steroids and they use it for topical things. And she said, yeah, it's just a simple shot and you're good to go. It'll go away in just like a couple days. And I'm like, I'm going to get that shot. Okay. I don't like shots, but I said, I'm going to go get the shot. So yeah. I went to the urgent care, you know, went in, got my little shot. And, you know, they checking me out and stuff. And the doctor says, okay, well, you know, somebody's going to come in and give you a shot. And I'm like, okay, great, fine. And the lady comes in, the lady nurse comes in. She tells me what it is. And I said, oh, that sounds like an Autobot. Because it sounds like a Transformer.
What, the
you
name? Know, that, the name of the
shot? Name of the shot sounded okay. like a Transformer. And she said, oh, yeah, it's probably an Autobot. I was like, oh, that's cool. You're a nerd. I didn't tell her that. That was what my brain thought. She actually said, I have a nerdy side. I'm like, oh, well, that's awesome. Oh, so, you
good.
Know,
good.
Easing the way because I'm about to get a shot. And, you know, I talk when I'm nervous.
Right.
And stuff. And I'm just stupid. But anyway, she said, hey, because there's so much of this in here, I'm going to need to give you this in your backside.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, man.
She says, it's not, you know, she didn't say your butt. She just said, your upper hip is what she said.
Yeah, but then yeah.
She said, I need you to, you know, just lower your pants down a few inches.
That's butt.
Yeah, that's butt.
If it's behind pants, it's butt.
It's behind pants. It's under underwear.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be cool about it and not think, oh my goodness, she's going to see my hiney. You know, I just was trying to be cool. Yeah. Go ahead, breathe there. And so she's like, and this, she said, I'm going to either side, you know, she doesn't say cheek. She says either side is fine. You know, she's super either professional side. About
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's even shown me how to stand to take the pressure off of the muscle that she's about to introduce this hypodermic needle to.
Ugh.
And so I'm all these thoughts are going through my mind. Like, all right, well, how far should I pull my pants down?
Yeah.
And how much, you know, rear end does she need to be exposed to?
Right,
to get her
right.
Job
we
done?
Need to minimize the exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets better. See, because so I get the pants to the level that, you know, she recommended. I didn't pull out a tape measure and, you know, go down a couple inches. I just kind of went till it was uncomfortable. And
she's done a red light, green light for you. Green light. Okay, red light.
She turned her back to me. It's not like she was watching me, you know, lower my laundry. But she says, okay, I'm just going to, this is embarrassing.
Oh, no. She
says, I'm just going to desensitize the area. And so she starts pinching the area. She's kind of squeezing it. I'm like, okay, so I'm nervous. I'm like, I don't know what to say here. I mean, do I say, oh, that's nice? You know? Do I say, I don't know. She says, this will help the shot, you know, relax the muscle. And she says, just think of it as like a massage. And I'm like,
I'm pressing charges.
Ay.
Oh so, my gosh.
It gets better because I'm an idiot, right? We've established this throughout the years, and I just talk when I'm nervous, and so she's pinching it and massaging the area, and I say, do I need to buy you flowers?
You moron!
I know.
Freaking
I'm sorry.
Retard! Oh my gosh!
So she gives me the shot and talks a little bit, and I, you know, so it's hot in here now, and that's what happened.
Oh my gosh! I've never had a what'd you call it?
Desensitized
massage there in the area. Oh my gosh. Do you remember?
I mean, in all fairness, it was the upper hip, and quite literally, it was not like she was grabbing my butt cheek.
Still, that's the area. It is the area.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember that episode of the IT Crowd where he gets a massage and the guy kisses him on the butt? It's
like, he kissed me on the buttocks.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, that's what it kind of... Yeah,
it was a man signing his book.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, I don't remember what episode, but I think it's in the second season.
Yeah,
the,
just make sure you're like 13 to 18 or older, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can catch it on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying. I'm dying. That was so messed
that,
up.
That was my weekly update. It didn't sound as funny in my head as it did in person, so I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was so messed up. There were so many levels of wrong.
Listen, if it makes this poison ivy go away, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, until John goes back in it, and he's like, well, that was actually really nice. I'm going to go swimming in the ivy.
He's like, you're back.
I need another poison ivy again. Yeah, I need another hands-on.
I need that desensitization.
Could you do the desensitization thing? Good job. Anyway, John ends up at the altar at church asking for forgiveness. I've created an appetite that I didn't mean to. So
I have a. I don't know what that means.
Yes, you do.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, you always know when we've gone too far when John claims ignorance. He's like, I don't know what English is anymore. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Anyway, we have so much to get through.
We do.
And we're 27 minutes in already. It's so crazy. All right. First of all, thanks to our patrons. We have a thing going on right now. 100 patrons equals a shaved head. And we got till the end of the year. We got 3 more patrons this month or this week. $54 per year pledged by Audrey Jean Moore or Jean Moore. $5 per month pledged by Cup of Hot Cocoa, and $54 per year pledged by Ann P. We appreciate it. That means we have 78 supporters, only 22 more to go by the end of December. We've got multiple levels of support. We have a dollar. We have a $3 tier. We have a $5 tier, and it goes up from there. If you haven't yet and you intend to, now would be the time to support the show at patreon.com/thatstoryshow and get that haircut off. You know, you get perks, you get access to our bonus content, and it's never been easier to join. So anyway, we have a few announcements. I just want to mention my YouTube channel. It's brand new. It's doing really well. I'm releasing stuff twice a week. I do gaming content and I do drawing content where I draw stuff from memory and then from reference. I have a pretty funny one coming out tomorrow at noon where I draw Pikachu from memory. And you would think, you know, I could choose him up in a lineup. Like, I could. Like, if there were a lot of Pokemon up there, and I would say, you know, I know that's Pikachu right there. But to sit down and draw him is a completely different thing. It is very difficult. So I didn't do a very good job, but then I show you the reference and then we draw him from reference and I redeem myself. It's pretty funny stuff. So check it out tomorrow at noon. At the easiest way to get there right now, because I don't have a great YouTube address, is nlcast.com/YouTube, or you could search James Kennison in your YouTube app and scroll down and you'll get there. I also want to mention June 11th, 2022. Is NarthX Con 2020 Benton Park Cafe here in St. Louis, Missouri. Stay tuned. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and that you've joined our Discord server or our group on Facebook, facebook.com/group/NLcast, my bad. And you'll get more information as well as right here on the show. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have guest hosts. We'll have John there. We'll have his family, hopefully part of his family anyway. We'll be recording live content and you can be a part of it. And we'll have unlimited sodas. And your son asked me about it. I mentioned it on Red School Bus the other day, just in case there were some families that wanted to come. And he's like, will we be able to mix the sodas? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
I guess you're going to have a mixologist.
There'll be a dude there pumping it. So you just have to tell him what you want. And he's like, well, I like cherry Coke and Sprite. And I'm like, that's when I told him about grenadine for the first time. I'm like, you'll probably have to ask for grenadine in your soda and then get some Sprite thrown in there. And, you know, anyway, so December 23rd, by the way, is coming up soon. It's going to be our annual fireside chat that John likes to do. And I enjoy doing it. It's going to be our Christmas theme show. So listen, we're going to pump the brakes a little bit on it, and we're not going to require that your stories be funny. We just want to hear about Christmas as you would tell it. If you have great memories, if you have bad memories, you know, if it happens to be funny, that's great too. But we'd love to hear about the traditions that you have. You know, how do you handle Santa Claus, you know, and stuff like that? How do you handle the holidays? Do you go to family? You know, anything interesting that you would share with a loved one or a neighbor, we want to hear it on the show. And you can send such things to james@nlcast.com or thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Either one will get right into my inbox, and we will be doing that stuff on December 23rd. So your deadline, that's 2 weeks away from this point. Your deadline is the 22nd, though, because I put the show together on the 22nd. So there we go. Another theme show right after this one, just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's coming quick, man. It's coming.
Yeah, quick. Too fast.
We got some iTunes reviews brought to you by mypodcastreviews.com. MorgDog6 says, awesome. I've listened to this podcast since I was 9 and I am 11 now.
Whoa.
This podcast has got me through my great grandma's passing, and I love every episode. So I hope you make it to episode 1000.
Whoa, that would be awesome.
I don't know how old we'd be. I'd have to do the math. I know this is not a story, but I hope it makes it on the show. MorgDog6. It did make it on the show, so it works out. It's time for us to do this.
Quiznos.
Got a quiz?
Where we quiz.
We do. We have a quiz. It is an animal quiz. It is pet-themed, and it is brought to us by a gentleman that I did not write his name down, and I'm terrible, but he did such a great job. I know. I hate that. I just realized I didn't put his name down, so... You know who you are, and you're amazing. Question number one, John and James. Okay. What is not the top 10 most popular pet in America? Cats, rabbits, ferrets, or snakes? What is not in the top 10?
Not in the top 10?
Yeah.
Cats, rabbits, ferrets, or snakes?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say ferrets.
Okay.
I hope it's snakes.
I'm going to say snakes. Yeah, I'm going to say snakes. Number two, what is the most common reptilian pet? A ball python, a box turtle, an iguana, or a bearded dragon? I want it to be turtle because I love turtles. So
I'm going to say bearded dragon.
A bearded dragon.
Because every dragon should have a beard.
That is true. It should be made of fire.
Ah, fire bearded dragon.
Fire bearded dragon. What is the most popular dog breed in America as of 2020? Poodle, a German Shepherd, a Labrador, or a Shih Tzu? I'm going to say a Shih Tzu because I think they're popular.
I'm going to agree with you.
I see a lot.
Because they're yappy dogs.
They're not.
They're not?
Not if you get a male. The females are a little more hyper, but our dog, dude, he barely ever barks. He only barks at the other dog. And it's only when the other dog is being crazy and my dog doesn't like it. So what is the only common pet not mentioned in the Bible? Dogs, cats, horses, or snakes? Well, I know it's not snakes. It's not horses. It's not dogs. It's got to be cats.
Oh, yeah. Dogs are mentioned in the Bible. Yeah. I don't remember anywhere in the Bible. Yeah, cats.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to say cats, too. All right. What is the most expensive pet in the world? Thoroughbred horse, a lion cub, a baby tiger, or John Steinclobber in bat form?
Definitely that one.
I would say so, because you would have to take him from his entire family. And that's emotional expense that you just can't replace that.
And then there's the guano.
Well, other than the first one, all of these are illegal. Like, I think it's illegal to have a bat that used to be a human in your house, but it's definitely illegal to own lions and baby tigers. But
what about Tiger King? I mean, there's a whole community of people that
there. It's not supposed to be. It's you okay. have. Yeah, it's like a shady side of the law, you know. I'm gonna say though that a lion cub would be my guess as in the most expensive pet in the world.
Okay,
but what do you think?
Thoroughbred horse.
All right.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. What is not the most top 10 popular pet in America? It is rabbits. Neither one of us got
Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Rabbits are not in the top 10.
Oh, wow.
I would rather it be ferrets or snakes.
Yeah, really? The rabbits, I mean, you can eat them if they're bad pets.
So that's gross. What is the most common reptilian pet? You were right, man. You got it. You said a bearded dragon. I don't even know what a bearded dragon is. So I'm going to have to look that back.
It's a lizard with a beard.
Yeah.
Kind of cute.
What's the most popular dog breed in America? It is a Labrador. We got that one.
Labrador. Oh, yeah. I should have. Everybody loves a Labrador.
The labs. They're so great. We got a story about a lab coming up pretty soon. Number four, what is the most common pet that's not mentioned in the Bible? It is cats. We were right.
Cats. And I mean, technically they are mentioned in the Bible because, you know, the Lion of Judah and the enemies of like a roaring lion. That
yeah,
kind of stuff.
But not as a pet though. You know, like a dog returns to his vomit. They're mentioned. Dogs eat one of the queens out of the dog food.
That's queen. Right. Jezebel.
Yeah. Jezebel. There's mention of dogs, but no mention of cats. And that is interesting. What is the most expensive pet in the world? John said it was a thoroughbred horse. I said a lion cub. And John was right.
I got one right.
Thoroughbred horses are upwards of $16 million.
Whoa, $16 million. Goodness. I was thinking like pretty expensive, but not $16
million. Yeah, I was thinking a nickel and a dime and a quarter and a penny. I mean, that's a lot of cash. But
that is a lot of cash.
Not enough for a horse, so.
Not a thoroughbred, at least.
Anyway.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about some pets.
Hey.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, I have a story, and I've probably told it on this show before, but when I was sitting around this week thinking of pet stories, I found that I was much like many of the pet stories we're going to read today, that all I had was disaster stories. You know? They're the ones that stick with you. I had a dog named Yogi, and he was big, and he was brindle. If you don't know what that is a type of coat that is much like a tightly knit tiger stripe. It is brown and black and sometimes grayish mixed in. It is a beautiful color. He had bright silver eyes. And he was a big pain in the butt, but he was a sweet dog. He just never wanted to really live with us. He was a trailer park dog. We got him from some kids that were in our children's ministry, and he lived in a trailer park, and he wanted to live there and be free and run around, and he'd always try to get out the front door. But anyway, one time he needed something from the vet. He was acting odd, so we put him in the car. In my Nissan 200 SX, which was the coolest car I ever owned.
Ooh, still a cool car.
Yeah, it was so cool. And he was sitting in the front seat, and he started this thing. And I'm like, crap. So I pull over to the side. I'm just praying that I'll be fast enough. I'm like, ah, dang it. Let me get out of the car. Let me run around to the other side. And before, as I'm opening the door, his head is down in the floorboard.
Oh, no.
Gallons of whatever and the freak he was eating. Just pink and colors and stuff. And then it again.
Just, oh, no.
It's
not
2 inches thick in the bottom of the floorboard. I'm not kidding. I'm like, my first thought is, well, how? How am I going to get rid of this without touching it?
You're going to have to throw the car away.
I'm immediately thinking this as the dog is finishing up his puking, and I'm sure he's feeling fine. I canceled the trip to the veterinarian. I'm like, whatever was wrong with him is now.
Now on your floorboard.
Now expelled. You know, the demons that were frothing around inside his stomach have made their way through his mouth and into the floor and into the carpeting and subfloor of my vehicle. I had an idea, but I dare not share it. I took him home, put him away, made sure he was fine, you know, brushed his teeth, made sure he had a little to drink. And then I drove the car to the nearest car wash and I pulled up next to the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh.
I put a dollar's worth of quarters in that joker and I started vacuuming out 2 inches of
from
the bottom of the car. It was the only thing I could think of. I was hoping that it was a wet dry vac. And I kept thinking about the next guy. The whole time I was doing it, I felt guilty.
Yeah. I bet you did.
I did. I really did. The next guy that comes along is going to be in this beautiful white truck, I imagine, with beautiful white carpet. And he's going to scrape this big tube across that thing, and it's going to just leave pink streaks. And he's not going to know what it is. And he's going to put his finger down in it. He's going to pick it up. No. He's going to smell it. He's going to put his tongue to it. No, I'm just kidding. But I did feel bad, but I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. I'm like, I imagine it's clogging the filter. You know, it's going to stick. Like all the dust from future vacuuming experiences is going to get stuck up in there. But I did it. I got rid of all of it, man. I dried the carpet with that stupid vacuum. I just kept pumping quarters in there until it was all gone. The diseased dog's vomit. So there's one of my stories. John, what do you want to share with the people today?
Well, I want to tell you about my first cat.
Okay.
You see, growing up in my house, I don't know how old I was. It was that age.
Okay.
I would guess it. I was probably in my, I wasn't going to school yet, so I was younger than 5. And this is my first memory.
Tiny Johnny.
Little Johnny. That's what they called me back then. Little Johnny. We had cats my whole life growing up in my house. My mom just had cats. She still has cats. My dad now has cats. He's got way more than my mom does.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's got a lot of cats. But so cats are, you know, been part of life for us. And I remember this first cat. I don't remember its name, but it, you know, lived outside. It probably came inside the house too and just wandered around and we would pet it and all that stuff that you do with cats. But one day I went outside to play and I saw our cat was laying down over by the trash cans. And I thought, oh, sweet little kitty cat. I'm going to go pet it while it's sleeping over there. And I go to pet the cat and I pet the cat a little bit. And then I think I'm going to pick this sweet little kitty cat up and I'm going to carry it around. And I put my hands under the cat and it just kind of slid across.
John.
The cat just kind of slid.
No.
And I'm like, oh, this cat's sleeping hard. And so it didn't get up. He just sat there, laid there. And I went to my mom. I was like, Mom, the cat's sleeping. You need to be super quiet.
Aww.
He's super tired. And she comes out and she's like, really? And I said, yeah, look, he's over there by the trash cans. And so my mom goes out and looks at the cat and she gets an old towel from the laundry room and she wraps the cat up in it. And then we dig a hole in the backyard.
You don't know what's going on, do you?
I'm like, what? Why are we gonna give the cat a blanket? And we buried that cat because it was dead.
It was dead.
And And years and years later, I thought, you know what? I want to dig that cat's bones up. And so I started digging holes all around in the yard thinking, where is that cat? Never found it.
Never did. That's great. That's good, actually. I approve of that story.
Glad I didn't find it. Yeah. The best cat's a dead cat. Is that what you're trying to say, James?
No, I'm just trying to say I'm glad you didn't find Nasty Cat because my brother's buried a calf one time, a cow that had died. And then they tried to find it later on. They dug it up and there was just bones. And so they were successful. But, you know, you could pretty much tell where you buried a cow. I think the grass grows greener, you know.
Sure.
Over it. So you don't wrap a cow in a towel either. So
no. As I remember it in my little tiny brain, we stood around the hole after we had put the cat in it, and we may have even said some words. I don't know. Aww. But I don't remember the cat's name.
I was going to ask if you did, but it was a holy cat. It lived in a hole. So, oh man. Well, the only other one that I could remember that I hadn't told was my kids. We used to live next to a playground, and underneath the swings, there were these, you know, ditches, for lack of a better word, where thousands of feet, you know, had drug and dug out a hole underneath
the little gully.
Yeah. And when it would rain, it would fill up with water, which made swinging almost like, you know, something from a retro video game where you had to swing over the water. Not like Pitfall. Exactly. So, but my kids noticed, they looked in there and there were just millions and millions of tadpoles swimming in this water. And they were like, oh my gosh, they're going to, you know, it's going to dry up and they're all going to die. So they came home, you know, without our knowledge, and they got a container and they went back and they dipped it up and they scooped up as many as they could. And on their way back, I found this out later. It wasn't part of the original story, but I found out just the other week they were talking about it, that they tripped. They killed about 3/4 of them right there.
Oh, wow.
On the spot, dropping them on the sidewalk.
Oh, we never gave them a chance. We tried to rescue them.
They never made it to the house because they had filled it too much. But anyway, so they told us about it, and I set up a little habitat for them. We used the water, you know, from the ditch, and we added some mud and some leaves and things. And by the time we got it all fixed up, it was enough to fit on the right there at the kitchen window, you know, the windowsill. And, slowly the numbers diminished though, until the little tails came off and only two had survived. And it was clear that one of them was a frog because it would swim around in the water. And another one was a toad because it liked to be up on the leaves. And they were eatsy. They were the size of a match head, you know?
Wow.
Tiny little guys. And I decided it was time to change out the water. And they agreed because the water was icky and gross, and we felt bad for the one that liked to swim around in the water. So I dumped out the water and I filled it up with water from the tap. And little did I know that water from the tap is treated with chlorine, and it's not enough to kill a person, but it's enough to kill a tiny little frog. And so the next day, the tiny little frog, which happened to be my son's, was dead. And the toad had survived because it was still alive. And oh, it was terrible because I had done it and it was somehow my fault. And luckily my kids still loved me back then and they let me off the hook, but it was still a sad moment. And I said, oh goodness, it's only a matter of time before this toad drinks some of this terrible water. We've got to somehow get rid of it. So
set him free.
We lived in Florida and our air conditioner worked overtime and had a drain that went out through the garage into part of the border grass that surrounded our front yard. And it was particularly wet and full of life. You know, the lizard, sure, yeah, lizards and stuff loved it. And the water was fresh and clean and clear. And, you know, because it was just condensation that would collect from the sky and into the coils of the air conditioner. So we decided to release the little baby toad there. And it's not a funny story, except for the fact that I killed one of them. And that was a terrible thing. But they still talk about it to this day. That one toad that we managed to save out of the millions of ones that died, dried up underneath one the slide. Toad. Yeah, there's one toad that made it. That whole thing. And the frog had a chance if I just released it instead of trying to clean up the water. But anyway, yeah. I'm a fixer, you know. I fix pens and I
fixers, yeah, and I clean
fix
things.
I fix frog habitats and you see how well it works out.
Not very sometimes. Well.
So anyway, there we go. That's my story. It was called One Frog, One Toad, One Died.
One frog, one toad. That's what it was called. One died. Man. Ugh. Well, I had a story about some dogs that I was going to tell, but your story about the toads reminded me of when we moved into this first house that we have. So, or not the first house, but where we're at now. And we have so many frogs, well, not frogs, but toads around the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hopping and just being toads because that's what they do, I guess.
Yeah, they're not really bright.
No, they're not super bright, but whatever. James, you know, your co-host over there at the Red School Bus.
Yeah, great show for kids. Check it out. It's a lot like this one, except it's for all ages.
For all ages.
Red School Bus.
Kind of partial. Yeah. But he has this way of naming animals, anything that he comes across.
Ah.
Anything. He builds fake people out of, clothes. He stuffs old sleeping clothes and turns them to Bobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He's very imaginative. He told me that building was his strong suit. It was like his greatest thing that he does is build things.
He likes to build things. One of the things that he built, no, he didn't build this. He found this toad and, he named it. I can't even remember the name, Cletus, or I don't know. He named this toad, but it was a very unique toad in that it only had three legs. And this toad was missing a leg. And so he was like wanting to bring it in the house. I'm like, no, it's got to live outside so it can catch bugs and live that way. Yeah. And so he lets the toad free and it's hopping around outside. Well, you know, like weeks later, we find the same toad with three legs. And he's like, Dad, the three-legged toad. I can't remember. I'll have to ask him.
Serendipity, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, you can make a pet out of anything, I suppose.
Right.
And he had toad pets that he named. And, well, there you go. I got more stories about pets, but you know what? We got some great stories.
We do, and we should get to them. You're absolutely right. Here's our listener stories for today. Is there anybody going to story? All right, today's stories are sponsored by BetterHelp.com. What interferes with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Do you struggle with depression or loss? BetterHelp can assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private online environment. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. You can send messages to your counselor anytime, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule a weekly video or phone chat session. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's convenient, professional, and affordable. And I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/thatstoryshow. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/thatstoryshow. And I'm grateful to thank betterhelp.com for sponsoring us this year and for helping so many of our listeners. It's really good. And myself, I use the service myself. It's great. Here's our stories. This one's called Green Slime Goat and it's from Brandon And it, I promise you, it's bad. It's a bad story.
Oh, boy.
Me and my brothers
name alone.
Have listened to your show since it first started. And we've been listening all the way up till now. Your show is intertwined into our childhood to where we make daily references to the show in our everyday conversations. So thank you. Here's my story. Me and my four-year-old or my four other siblings grew up on a small farm in Southwest Missouri, and we raised goats along with all the other typical farm animals. And one cold spring, a goat died, probably from old age. Since it was so cold that week, the ground was too hard to dig a hole for a burial. So we decided to throw it up on the shed roof to keep the coyotes from getting the thing. And then we would finally bury it when the temperatures got a little warmer. But like most teenagers with better things to do, like listening to Nobody's Listening back then, we forgot about the old goat on the shed. And it got warm. We got warm for a while. And when we began to smell our friend that we left up on the roof, and we remembered him. And I climbed up there after several weeks of warmer weather. It looked like a goat skin blanket floating in bright green foam. That's why I'm glad I'm reading it, because I am kind of immune when I read it. I've never seen anything like it, and haven't since. You could actually hear the foam bubbling. like right after you pour a Coke in a glass.
I can't. I gotta take my headphones off. I don't think I can. I don't think I can sit through the story.
I told you it's bad. I told you. So I knew I had to get the old thing cleaned off. You have to drive it to a car wash and use the vacuum. That's the
thing. Just take the whole. You just need to burn the whole house down.
You know, I said
whatever roof it was on, you just burn that structure down. It's gone.
I said that I was immune, but my skin suddenly got cold, and I'm like feeling like I haven't eaten today for some reason.
I don't even want to eat now.
I knew that I had to get the old thing cleaned off the roof before it got even worse.
Oh.
I had my brother hoist up a 5-gallon bucket. No. Oh, it gets worse. I started scooping all the green foam juice into the bucket.
Boom, boom, boom.
I finally had to lift up the goat hide to get the juice.
Oh, no.
And there was something hiding and living under there that makes my skin crawl when I think about it. When I lifted up the goat, there was a huge black crab-looking beetle thing that was as big as probably a full square slice of sandwich bread. As soon as I lifted up the goat, the thing stood up like a crab. It split into two crab-looking things, and each one crawled very fast off the side of the shed. It's a freaking alien, I'm telling you.
What?
It's a goat alien.
What?
I almost fell off the roof. Whatever was under the goat was not normal. And now it was how it was living in the green foam juice is beyond me. I very quickly got the juice and the goat in the bucket and burned it. I burned the whole thing in a bonfire to ensure that it was gone and never to return. Don't ever look under a juicy goat. That's the theme of the show. Brandon. Brandon, I hate you,
Brandon.
I hate you a lot. Because I thought I was, I wanted to read this because I thought I was immune, but I literally feel lightheaded and I feel like I haven't eaten for a week. I feel like I'm going to faint like that. So Brandon, John may like you, think you're great, but I hate you.
I appreciate you as a person, Brandon, but your story is gross. It's so gross.
Yeah.
This is a pet story show, not a dead goat story show. Why?
Yeah, I should have been a little tighter on the reins on that one, I admit. So
it's James's fault. It was about aliens. Those aliens living under the pet. That must have been what it was all about, right?
Right, right.
Oh, mercy. Let me redeem this time and tell you a story from Todd from Texas. This is about Nobody's Buddy. He says, once when I was a kid, I had a pit bull chow Great Dane mixed dog. That is a lot. We call that a Heinz 57 where I'm from.
Yeah.
That's a pit bull chow Great Dane. I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to know. I don't know. Anyways, the dog's name was Buddy. And as you can imagine, being part Great Dane, this was a rather large dog.
It's a good name for a dog. that
it is.
Literally is mixed with every kind of other dog. We're all buddies in this one his dog. Buddy.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, Buddy was a good-natured dog, intended to get along with most people and animals. Buddy was also very protective of me and my siblings, which was good since my family had three other children at the time, all younger than me. He was also an escape artist, and no matter how many fences we built, no matter how high we built them, he would always figure a way over, around, or under the fence. Mm. Sounds like he's a little Houdini. Maybe you should have named him Houdini instead of Buddy. So since we kind of lived in the country, we ended up just letting him loose and letting him roam around the yard and letting him visit the neighbors whenever he wanted to. The only time we kept him tied up was when this little punk kid that my mom used to babysit would come over for the day. Mm-hmm. As you may have surmised by my initial description of the little turd, his words, not mine, I didn't like this kid. He was annoying and whiny and spoiled, and he always got his way. And he was just the boil on the backside of my existence.
Wow.
Well, tell me how you really feel about him, Todd.
Don't hold back.
Don't hold back. He says, Lucifer definitely describes this kid well.
All right. So we have a name.
One day, yeah, Lucifer. His name is Lucifer. One day when the little fallen angel, quote unquote, was over at our house, I went to take some food out to Buddy. And since I felt like I needed a break from the kid, I decided to just hang out with Buddy while he ate. Lucifer saw me over there and slowly started making his way in my direction. This is where a devious, sneaky, and not so nice plan started forming in my brain. I wondered what would happen if Lucifer just happened to walk into Buddy's range of motion.
Oh boy.
So guess what I did? I began to call out to him and told him to come closer. Hey, Lucifer, come here, I said in an enticing sort of way. I want to show you something. I'm
gonna show you your death.
Yeah, come here, Lucifer. He slowly began to walk my way, but he was very cautious because he was slightly concerned about the giant dog. Come on, man, I said encouragingly. It's okay. He continued to get closer as I continued to offer encouragement that everything was okay. All while this was going on, Buddy continued to eat, keeping an eye on Lucifer as he got closer and closer. Finally, just as Lucifer reached the perimeter of the chain, I yelled, "Sick him!"
Oh, no!
To my shock and utter glee, Buddy gives a loud growl mixed with a deep roaring bark and lunged towards Lucifer.
No.
Causing him to give a scream worthy of James's brother in the hallway. Basement ghost man reference.
Yeah.
It almost makes the kid soil himself and made his feet move so fast he looked like a cartoon in efforts to get away from Buddy. Nice. As Lucifer went running and crying back to the house, I stood there in shock that Buddy actually listened to me. And I couldn't help but give him a pat on the head and tell him what a good boy he was for scaring the living daylights out of that little turd. I mean, I'm sorry, little butt. And for a while, giving me a little bit of peace and quiet in my day. Who says dogs aren't man's best friend?
Not me.
Todd from Texas.
Good job for good scaring job, the crap out of that little monster. You're such a good boy for almost biting his face off. I love you. Yeah. We'll be friends till the end.
It's a very well-written story, I must say.
Yeah, good job. All right, Michael, your resident nomad, sends in one called Genius Goldie. He says, when we moved to the burbs out to the sticks when I was 12, we finally had enough room to have a dog. We had a Brittany Spaniel mix that was smart, but thought she could use a companion, so one of the families in our church at the time offered us one of their golden retrievers that we took. Now, I will tell you, at the time, when I first read this email, I thought it was weird that they said, we offered one of our golden retrievers. They offered one. It's weird that they wanted to break up a set, you know? But as I read through the rest of the story, it became clear why they did this. Anyway, we came up with the creative name Goldie for this beautiful yet extremely dim creature. Goldie was like the dog equivalent to blonde jokes.
She
was completely untrainable and bumbled around in our yard with reckless abandon. We had installed invisible fencing to keep the dogs from wandering out to other people's property, and we trained the dogs to approach the line and to be warned by the sound and take that as an indication to do an about face. But the smart dog was fast, and she was smart, and she would get a running start, jump when she heard the alarm, and then yelp midair as she kept pace on the other side of the fence. Goldie, however, would wander aimlessly toward the line, hear the noise, stand directly over the line that was in the ground, and receive the shocks, but not move. She would just look around dumbfounded as to what could possibly be causing this, yet not moving away from the area in any direction. And eventually, I had to run over and practically kick her to get her off the spot and end her misery.
Something's shocking me. I don't know what.
I don't know what's going on. I wonder why I was a free dog. I wonder why I was given away so readily. I'd like to say that this only happened once, but Goldie must have seen it as a challenge. Like, I'm going to eventually figure out how to beat this thing. One day it snowed, and I walked up to the local mini mart about a quarter mile away, and Goldie decided to follow me. I decided it would be no problem because nobody in North Carolina would be trying to drive in this deep snow. I got the items to make snow cream from the storm. Mm. I don't know what that is, but
you don't know what snow cream is?
No.
You take fresh snow. How do I, a Floridian, know this? I don't know. You take fresh snow and it's the clean stuff, you know, without any yucky. And you mix in like my sister who lives in Wyoming, she will mix in like coffee creamer, sweetened coffee creamer.
Uh-huh.
And you just mix it around and it makes like this like slushy ice cream snow stuff. It's good. It's
Weird. Well, anyway. Yeah. I was going to make snow cream from the storm and was trudging back along the road. Then a car approached. I got off the road and called Goldie to come to me. She declined my request and stood in the middle of the road like a calf staring at a new gate. The car wasn't going particularly fast and started to apply the brakes to avoid hitting the dog. But Goldie, hearing the vehicle, turned to see how now turned to see the now sliding car hurling towards her. The look on her face was like, oh, look at that car going sideways. I wonder what my response should be. Still trying to call her to get her out of the road, she turned back to me and then suddenly was broadsided by the car and slid and rolled about 20 feet. She got up, she shook the snow from her body and trotted away. The driver was profusely apologetic. I told him the dog was apparently fine and the car drove away. I finally had the courage to tell the daughter of the family who gave us Goldie about her nature. That's a nice way to say it. Her nature.
Her nature.
She assured me that it was purely genetic, as if stupidity was the trait that they were trying to breed into this line. No. She said the parents of Goldie were not the brightest bulbs in the box, and this was one of the dumbest animals that they had ever encountered.
Oh, wow.
But we have the privilege of calling her ours, Michael.
Oh, man.
Your resident nomad. So the theme of the story is beware of free golden retrievers. That's all I got to say.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Hey, Biddy, Goldie. We got a guy at church that wants a dog. We got a chance to get rid of Goldie, the stupidest animal
we've ever had. Give him Goldie. Your dog looks like it needs a companion. Here's one that'll really keep it company.
Yeah. We're going to move away real quick so you can't ever find us again. So
don't worry. Goldie won't find us either.
Well, let's keep going. I know we're over time, but let's keep going.
Yes. Stick with us. We just got a couple more. This comes to us from our friend TJ Bunkall in Rexburg, Idaho. This is Baddish Birds. Did you know that birds like to chew on paper?
Yeah.
Did you know that, James?
Yes, I did.
Did you know that they like to play with Legos?
No, I did not.
I did not know that either. Well, TJ has two cockatiels, a gray one and a white one. Their names are Smokey and Angel. I wonder which one is which. They're both girls. Think of the combination of the sass of a teenage girl with the evil of a toddler and the mannerisms of a cat. And that's pretty much the attitude of our birds. I used to do homework with Smokey on my shoulder. She would nip at me when I was focusing on my math or science homework more than her, so she would side shuffle down my arm and onto the clipboard or binder or whatever I was holding to do my work on. She'd cock her head at it and then begin to bite off a corner with her beak, leaving a triangle indentation. By the time my homework would be done, my rectangular piece of paper had become a trapezoid with a side full of jagged edges. And Smokey didn't just do this with me. She also did it with my sister. She and I had both turned in assignments with rips and had to tell our teachers that the birds had eaten our homework. Also, sometimes Smokey would see that my brother and I would be playing with our Legos, so she'd join in. She loved to stick her beak inside the nooks and crannies and hold it with her little talons.
She's so cute, little Smokey.
She would also have fits where she would tear into the Legos in the bin and then throw them all out. I've included photographic evidence if you'd like to see for yourself.
Yeah, he did. He sent in actual video of this bird, and it's in this tub of Legos. And dude, it's fighting them like it's fighting off a zombie horde.
Nice.
It's just like, oh my gosh, they're all around me. Throw, grab, you know, just freaking out. This bird, this cockatiel, man. It's great. It's a great little clip.
Well, hilarious. Maybe we can see it on Facebook or something.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put it up on the
NLCast community.
Yeah, the NLCast community.
Podcast community.
Yeah. Facebook.com/group/NLCast. So this one's called My Bedroom is a Fish Coffin. It's from Norman. It's an interesting title, but I didn't pick it. Hey, it's Norman. You said you were going to do a theme show about pets, and I remembered that I have a pet story. Disclaimer, I am 11, so my writing is not the best. Also, if you want, you can call this story My Bedroom is a Fish Coffin. So,
yikes.
So we did. Anyways, let's get to the actual story. Once upon a time, I had a fish, and things happened to it. The end. just joking. That's definitely not the story. The real story is a little longer. One morning, as I was getting ready for school, I decided to check on the pet fish that is in my room. I would refer to it as my pet fish, except it really isn't. You see, my mom is the one who actually feeds the thing, and I hates it. I hates it. I hates it so much. I hates it with the passion of 1,000 suns that have been burning for 10,000 years. Why? What is a fish? What is a fish that you would hate it so much? I don't understand.
Yeah. Why? What did that fish do to you?
Yeah, I can understand just not being attached to it. But to turn it into hatred, what fish in the world would you ever hate that much? I don't know. As I looked into his tank, I realized something was off. It was floating at the top of the tank, motionless. I tapped the glass gently and it didn't move. You see, the fish was dead and my heart dropped and I gagged a bit. Why'd your heart drop if you hated it? Anyway.
Yeah.
I ran out of my room to the kitchen where my mother was pouring out my cereal. Man, you got a full-fledged mom there.
Your cereal.
Dadgum.
Or was she like pouring out the cereal? Like, this cereal is bad. You can't eat this. Yeah, I'm pouring it in the trash.
This is too good. It's a wonderful cereal and you're a bad child. So I'm going to dump it in the garbage in front of you. I called for her and informed her of my fish's current state. See, he's claiming the fish now. My fish. Before it wasn't his fish. It was his mom's fish. But however, my mom did not respond the way that I thought she would. Instead of comforting me or telling me to remove the corpse from the nasty water, she told me she had known that the fish was dead for a few days. This meant not only had I not noticed, but that the dead creature of sliminess had been residing in my bedroom for multiple days. For some twisted reason, my mom hadn't told me about the thing, and you didn't notice, and she also hadn't made any attempt to remove it. So I asked her to kindly remove it, and she promised that she would the very next day. Or while I was at school. It has now been a few weeks. The fish is still there. Goodbye, Norman.
It's disgusting.
You know what? You can fish that thing out yourself too, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your full service mom who pours your cereal, you know.
Yes, mother.
Maybe she hasn't taught you to do things yourself, but I think you could handle it, buddy. I think you could handle it.
Yeah, it's still there. That's gross. It's just a little skeleton of a fish floating around in there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he hates it so bad.
They start to fall apart. At least there's no green foam. So I'm still not feeling good from that story. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm still feeling a little lightheaded.
Okay.
It's the after effects.
Maybe Steven from Alabama, his story can help us out. This is called Walk Alone. He says, I used to work at a vet clinic. I watched over other people's pets each day. I really enjoyed playing with the dogs, and I was able to bring my puppy with me each day, and he could play with me and follow me around while I worked.
That's cool.
Yeah, in fact, that was how they sold me on the job. I was told I would get to be paid to play with the dogs all day.
Wow.
Wow, that sounds like some Will Shakespeare type stuff right there.
Yeah.
Anyways, you got that's. I mean, I would jump at that opportunity to get to play all day. You know,
with dogs. Yeah,
with dogs. Sure,
I'll pass. But you know,
how it's very soft pass, but I'm gonna pass.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded like heaven, but at the time I was desperate for a job. So this, however, was a terrible and dirty job. What they didn't tell me about was all the cleaning up I would have to do, the long hours that I'd have to work, and the amount of time I would spend bathing dogs, which included expressing anal glands.
Yummy!
Just those are two words you should never, ever put together.
Nope.
Dogs, three words.
Dogs are
expressing,
dumb.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Anyways, if you've never seen or smelled the cages in a vet clinic, count your blessings. One of the things I had to do each day was clean the drains, which was the runoff from all the cages.
Yum.
Yeah, you see, they clogged very easily because of the hair and the poo, which would build up when we sprayed the cages for cleaning. I would then have to wade through 2 feet deep poop water to unclog it. It was what I would imagine Satan himself would have murderers doing every day within his inner sanctum of Hades. I spent most of my 12-hour day, wow, 12-hour day.
Dang.
Spent most of that day cleaning different areas and bathing dogs, and only a few minutes each day actually playing with the dogs. That sounds like a terrible job. But I've never seen it on Mike Rowe's Dirty Job, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Now that you're familiar with how much this job sucked, here's the story that made me quit. Uh-oh, it gets better. You see, we would have dogs that we had labeled walk alone, quote unquote. This meant that they are quarantined because if they got too close to another dog, they would kill them. Me and my coworker were working one weekend and we were walking a giant Rottweiler who was a walk alone to the playground or the play yard. This dog was massive, like the beast from the Sandlot massive.
Wow.
His name was Bama. And if he stood up on his hind legs, he would easily be 8 feet tall. That is huge.
That's a big dog.
Wow. That's a big dog. The good thing was that he was kind to people. However, if you know anything about Rottweilers, then you know that they can be unpredictable.
Mm.
We had had him outside for about 5 minutes, and he started acting aggressively to my coworker. My coworker started backing away and giving him a space, but Bama followed him and started to try to bite him.
Oh, no.
Yikes. My coworker picked up the pace and started running away, but Bama pursued.
Yeah, that's not what you do. You don't run.
No. Don't run. I don't even know what to do. What do you do, James?
You face them and you get really big and you put your arms up and you try to like you're trying to scare a bear. Yeah. I mean, I don't know officially. I'm not the dog expert, but
this is not a survival tip for dogs.
Yeah, but. I mean, I would probably run too, but
yeah. I would start kicking.
But what you're supposed to do is not show weakness. So, anyway,
right. He's trying to, yeah. Well, he eventually got him and bit off a chunk of skin from his arm.
Oh, yum. Yeah.
Our fence around the play yard was about 10 feet tall, but my coworker scaled it like it was 2 feet. I was beyond impressed and was thinking that he should be a professional athlete. I was so distracted by his Olympic level athleticism that I temporarily forgot that there was a giant, angry Rottweiler headed towards me.
Yeah, you're locked in there with him, bud.
Hey, puppy, be nice. He came right up to me and looked me in the eyes and then started wagging his little nub of a tail.
Oh.
I guess he thought he was protecting me or something.
Oh.
But I got him inside his cage as quickly as I possibly could, just in case something changed. I started weighing the pros and cons of working there, and not only a few weeks later, I no longer did so.
So he quit.
He quit a few weeks after that event.
Oh, that's great. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't want to get eaten by a dog.
No. This one is easily middle school drama.
Dang it. Move out of the way. voice, stupid.
It's called Crazy Jane. I am a middle school cross-country runner. Two other runners to protect the innocent. Let's call them Jane and David. I had been practicing together for CC Nationals. That's cross-country. We were only ones who were fast enough. Anyway, while we were running, we had been talking about pets and which is better, cats or dogs. And I just want to add that one day before my cat had died, since once we got back to the school, we were stretching and I said, oh yeah, my cat died yesterday. Jane, who I have had a crush on for the whole time in the CC season, immediately started giggling. She was a very infectious laugh and pretty soon I laughing too and then realize what I am doing. David is just looking at us both like we're Satan's children. I still felt bad about laughing at my cat's passing, and for some reason, Jane still giggles every time it's brought up. That's because Jane is full of Satan. Anyway, love the show. You guys are awesome. Jake from Bellefontaine, Ohio. Yeah, you need to run from Jane, Jake. You need to quit talking to her. That's not a normal reaction.
He's probably laughing because she killed the cat.
Yeah, it's not normal. There's something wrong with Jane, buddy. Okay, just want to let you know. Well, that's our show for this week. Have you ever dropped a giant cat hate turd into a broken toilet? Have you ever left a goat on a hot tin roof? Have you ever sicked a dog onto a horrible toddler? Or been given the stupidest dog in existence for free? Have you ever had birds that tossed Legos like they were trapped by zombies? Have you ever had a nasty fish stay around way too long but blamed your mother rather than getting rid of it your own dang self? Or quit a job because the doggos were too dang dangerous? Or had a crush on a girl that thought your pet's death was funny? Whatever your story is, send it. Email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we use your story, we owe you a sticker. Email us your address. ThatStoryShow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/NLCast. Join the Discord at NLCast.com/community. And thanks to our patrons with your special support. And thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kuve, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just foam up that green food coloring and think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Oh.
Thanks for your foamy goats.
Decomposing animals are not what I signed up for when I said, let's do a pet theme show.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.